You know, I don't know what the younger people know because I don't know what they teach them in school anymore, but they used to teach us this, and they didn't have to teach it to me. I knew it because I was alive then. But any of you ever heard D-Day? Yep. That happened on June the 6th, 1944. Actually, it was the ending of that set up the ending of World War II. As 156,000 American, British, and Canadian forces landed on the beaches at Normandy. And you know, but there was something interesting prior to D-Day. And the Allied forces conducted a large-scale deception. And it was disguised to mislead the Germans, the Nazis, about where they knew there was some kind of invasion taking place, but it was disguised where it was really taking place, and it did. And so it's important in life that we choose to believe the right reports. They believed the wrong report on where the main invasion was going to take place. You know, in a sense, then we have D-Days all the time. What am I referring to? I'm calling it Decision Day. We have Decision Day every day. Now, this means that we have to decide what we believe, right? Look at Isaiah 53:1. Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now the Amplified Classic Version says, who has believed, trusted in, relied upon, clung to our message of that which was revealed to us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been disclosed? The Israelites here are at a point that they're going to have to choose which report they're going to believe. The report spoken to them through the prophet Isaiah. If they choose that, then they're going to get the arm of the Lord to help them. If they choose not to believe that, then God cannot reveal himself to them. You know, when we face situations every day. And we many times get a report from somebody. Then we ask somebody else, get another report. And when this happens, you got to decide what report you're going to believe. You know, just think about the different situations that you get information from somebody on. And you have to make a decision of what you're going to believe. Financial, medical, business, relationships, political. You know, you have to choose which report you're going to believe. Because the report you believe is the report you go with. Now, spiritually speaking, we can choose to believe God's promises or believe the negative report of the enemy. Now we got to realize that the enemy, the devil himself, does not always come to us himself. He sends people across our path to tell us crazy things, to tell us things that, you know, like you can believe in God for something and then somebody comes and says, well, I know so-and-so that's believing God for the same thing, but it didn't happen. And what makes you think it's going to happen for you? Something to get you off of thinking what the Word of God says, off of the report of the Word of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever been there besides me? Well, I got 50, 60 people out of this whole group that's been with me. Well, at least we know what we're talking about. You know, my dad always says, and I say it all the time to you, and I'm trying to get it across to you, the Bible says that I believe it, that settles it. I've adopted that same deal. That, in other words, you're saying, God said it, I believe it, and that's the report I'm going to believe. okay? When I choose to believe the report of the word is when the blessings of God can become a part or a reality in my life. You know, life has always been full. Even the word of God is full of situations where people had to choose where they, what they believe. See, the truth of the fact is we have to make choices. People in the word of God had to make choices concerning what God said. You know, the Bible gives us one answer. The enemy brings us another report. So now we have to make a choice. Let's look. Abraham had to make a choice. He had to choose what report he believed. Romans 4:19, all of us know it, but I'll give you a chance to turn there. This is very familiar verse of scripture to most of us. Maybe I shouldn't say all of us know it, but most of us that's been around here a while. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and Sarah, the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now here is two reports. In the natural, Abraham and Sarah were past the age of childbearing. Now, Abraham had to disregard that report and believe the report of God, where God said that I will give you a son. See, they had to choose a report of what God said rather than the report in the natural. You know, Paul, as we're looking at him, he tells us that we can choose to believe certain reports. He had to do this. There in 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, as we look at it, he says there, our present troubles are small, yet won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that is vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Now here, Paul is saying, you can fix your focus and fix what you believe on your afflictions, your trials, your troubles. But Paul calls them temporary. But you can choose to believe those, or you can choose to focus on the unseen, unchanging promises of the Word of God that are far greater and bring to us a great blessings. Now, it's up to you. You're the one that makes the choice of whether you believe what the enemy is telling you or what. And then somebody said, well, the enemy didn't tell me that. So-and-so did. Hey, the enemy uses people. Okay? So now you've got a choice to make. You can believe what the word says, or you can believe the report. Man, a year ago, I had to believe the report of the Lord, not the report of what they're telling me. And I believe that. I use that all the time. I believe the report of God. No matter what other reports I get, I believe the report of God. See, now, the children of Israel, and we look at them a lot, and we should. You know why we should? It's because Paul says what happened to them happened as examples for us. And so, now what is an example? An example is something you should do or something you shouldn't do. And you're supposed to learn from it, okay? You know, I learned about electricity at 3 years of age. We pastored in a church, and I'm standing up, and you know, one of them little back in what, 42, I guess it was, and I'm standing up on this couch, and some of the older houses, and you younger people won't remember, but some of the more mature people like myself remember. Sometimes you just had a light bulb that screwed in and you unscrewed it. You didn't have a switch on it or nothing. Anybody remember that? Well, on the couch, there was just one of these deals, these white porcelain deals had four little screws in it and where you screw the bulb in, the brass. Well, there wasn't no bulb in it. And so I'm standing there, and my dad's sitting at a desk studying there in the living room, and I'm going, woo, taking my finger round and around the edge. And he said, "Son, stop that. That electricity will bite you." "Okay, Dad." And my finger slips off and slipped into the middle, and I wound up on the floor. You know, I went backwards because he told me that it would bite me. But I didn't believe that report. So I got bit by the electricity. See, you got to learn what report you're going to believe. Because if you believe the wrong report, it can cause you a problem. Right? Now look at this in Numbers 13. Numbers 13. I'm going to read from the New Living on this one. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned. And Moses and Aaron and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran, they reported to the whole company what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from there. This was their report to Moses. "We entered the land you sent us to explore. It was indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw the giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. 'Let us go up at once and take the land,' he said. 'We can certainly conquer it.' But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. 'We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are.' So they spread a bad report about the land among the Israelites. 'The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw there were huge. We even saw the giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers.' That's what they thought too." Now, here he is. They have gone in to look the land over. They come back. They took one man from each tribe, the 12 tribes, so that means there's 12 of them. They come back, and the Bible says that they brought back their report was an evil report. You know, it was a bad report. They said, "Hey, it's all God says it is, but we can't take it." Caleb and Joshua, their report was, and they were part of the spies, "Yeah, we can do it, but God says so." Now there's two reports. The report of the 10 and the report of the 2. They believed the report of the 2, and they never got in the promised land. The only two of that old generation that got in the promised land was Caleb and Joshua. Why? Because they believed the report of the Lord. You go on reading in there, and there's Joshua told them, he got up and he told them, he said, "Their defense is departed from them. God said he'd give it to us. Let it rise up in one. Let's go." You see, here it is. Two reports. The report of what they saw. The report of what God said. Now they are faced with a decision. They either believe what the natural's telling them or they believe what God's word says. Now, let me stop here for just a moment. There are a lot of things you need to believe the report of the natural, okay? Because when it's not contrary to God's word, you know, we're supposed to have some sense and obey laws, because Jesus said that himself. He said, render unto Caesar. In other words, listen to what Caesar has to say, but then listen to what God has to say. Now, in the natural, you better realize you don't walk across that street out there when there's traffic going everywhere. That's a report you better believe. That truck will run over you because it's carrying several thousand pounds and it can't stop. Or a speeding car can't stop. Now, you better believe that report. But you see, that has nothing to do with what God said. God told you to have some sense. Hello, that's a report you better believe. But I'm talking about when the natural is contrary to the report the natural report is contrary to what the report of the Word of God says. Then you have a choice to believe one or the other. One brings blessed, one you'd get nothing like they did. See, if they believed the wrong report, kept them receiving from God. Now look at this. Look at this and what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20, what Paul says. For all the promises, all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. That was NLT. NIV says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him, amen, is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now, here we got the promises of God have been made, right? The word of God has stated. So now we can believe that report. That's because they are yes. Somebody said, well, no, wait a minute. That was for another time. That is not for this time. That's for another. No, if God said it, he meant it. He meant what he said what he meant. And it's for all of us, not just for a certain time period. The promises and the word of God is for everybody now. It was for them back then. It's for us now. Okay? So here we understand through Christ, we are pre-qualified for the promises of the word of God. You know, any of you have to get pre-qualified before you go buy something? You know, sometimes in real estate, you go and you get pre-qualified for the loan so you can buy the house or something. Hey, okay? And then sometimes in the mail, you get this letter that says, you have been pre-qualified for such and such. Well, that's a good one to throw away. Because there's always a catch at the end of it somewhere. Okay. See, we have to declare God's promises and believe the report of God, because through Christ we have already been qualified to receive those blessings. Now it's up to us to believe that report, confess that report, and receive the blessings that come with us. You see, sometimes we choose to believe the natural instead of believing the promises of God. Example, when our bank accounts are empty, or we get a bad report from the doctor, we got to either believe the report of the God that he'll supply our needs, or we believe the report of what our accounting is telling us. Many years ago, Lynette and I were associate pastor, and she came to me and she said, we have more disbursements this week than we've got money coming in. And so, first of all, the thought came to her, well, I won't pay my tithes, and I'll catch up next week. Okay, there's a bad report, because that's contrary to what the Word of God says. The Word of God says if you get something, a paycheck, then 10% of it belongs to the Lord. He asked you, that's your tithe, or that's your gift back to God. Now, so she said, no, we're not going to do that. So we started believing God. We believed the report of the Lord. The Lord said, if you'll obey me, do what my word says, I'll bless you, right? So that's the report we believed. At the end of the month, actually it was more than what, it was for the month, it wasn't for the week, I messed that up. But it was for the month. At the end of the month, we had paid all of our bills and still have $5 in our checking account. And to this day, she can't tell you how that happened, right, hon? But you see, we believed the report of the Lord, and we did what God said to do in the Word, and it works. See, I'm talking about believing the report of the Lord. The enemy will rise up like a giant to stand in your way, like those giants in the promised land. But you see, if God said you can have it, or that it was yours, you can believe the report of the Lord no matter what else is happening. You know, the report of the enemy will lead you into defeat and lack. The report of the Word of God will lead you into blessing and victory. Now, let's look at David here for a minute. He said in Psalm 23:5, most of you already know it. He said, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup runs over with blessings, or overflows with blessings. Now, here it's saying God is preparing a feast for us. He's not just fixing a little lunch or handing us a snack. Feast. New King James says, he prepares a table for me. God is preparing a whole table of blessing. And he just didn't prepare enough for everybody to take a little bit. He prepared a feast. A feast means there's more than you all can eat. It never runs out. And you've heard me say this many times, and some of y'all been in the same situation. You go to grandma's house on Sunday after morning church, and she had a table spread, man. I mean, you know, potatoes and fried chicken and ham and corn and peas and biscuits and cornbread. Anybody hungry? I'm going to let you out in just a minute. You can go eat. And she would always tell everybody when we started, hey, listen, eat all you want. There's more where that come from. In other words, she had more in the kitchen. That is just what she put on the table. That's God has the table prepared. In fact, in the old song we used to sing when I was growing up in church, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. What? Yeah, feast at Jesus' table all the time, come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. Man, see, this is what I'm talking about. That's the report you have to believe. You got to dive into the feast and partake. Go to the table of abundance. It's a table that's full of all of God's redemptive promises. There is a feast of healing, a feast of deliverance and freedom, a feast of provision and abundance, a feast of peace. No use of being all uptight and nervous. Hey, he said, I give you peace. Live in peace. You know, a feast takes care of your every hunger. God's table is a feast that takes care of your every need. Man, that should give us a reason to shout. But I want you to notice where he prepares that table. In the presence of my enemies. Come on now. His abundant table of provision is prepared right in the front of the enemy that's coming against us, telling us we can't have it. We can't. You're going to be defeated this time. You can't win this time. And yet, in the Word of God, on that table, it says, "I always triumphed in Christ." And yet, somebody tell you, the enemy. Now, it may not be coming exactly from the enemy, but somebody tell you, "Well, now I know you got healed last time, but you ain't going to get healed this time. I know God blessed you last time, but hey, listen, you done got too many blessings. He's got to give them to somebody else." Come on now. See, here we are sitting down in the presence of the enemy with the promises of God, the Word of God, and we can believe one report or the other report. I choose to believe the report where I can be blessed by God. I choose to draw my feet up underneath that table and reach over and get me a big old helping of freedom and deliverance, get me a big old helping of provision. Come on. Whatever you need, whatever your need is on that table. But you see, the report of the Word of God tells you it's on there. But the report of the enemy coming against you, telling you, no, it's not that way. Hey, I don't care if the devil comes to you with 67 and one half reasons why nothing on that table can meet your need. I want you to tell him, hey, everything on that table can meet my need. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. The report of the Lord says that I am blessed. The report of the Lord says I'm healed. The report of the Lord says that I have abundance. The report of the Lord says that I have victory and peace, and I choose to live there. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. I do not choose to believe the report that you're giving me out. Oh, yeah, I know in the natural what it's like, but I know what the word said, Mr. Devil, and I choose to believe the report of the Lord, and the impossible becomes possible because of the report of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you're in this place today, I want you to start believing what God says and receiving what God says. Go back to that. God said it, I believe it, that settles it, period. There's nothing else but God. And many of you are sitting in this audience right now. And some of you that are listening out there, you have been given the death report. But the report of the Lord said differently. Hallelujah. I see several of you sitting there. I see you sitting there. They told you, the report said it wasn't going to happen, didn't it? But the report of the Lord said differently. Hallelujah. I see more of you sitting there. He caught my eye. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. And his report is always victorious. Not sometimes, not part of the time, all of the time. The report of the Lord is victorious. Let's stand and thank God for the report of the Lord that will give you the victory every time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is so good. Hallelujah. Bow your heads for just a moment. If you happen to be in this place this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the first way to get in to all the goodness of God is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If that's you, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. If you're in this place today and you know what it is to serve God, but you know you're not where you're supposed to be with Him and you need to rededicate, I want to pray with you too. Anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hand anywhere in this room right now. Downstairs, upstairs, let me see your hand anywhere in the room right now. You need Jesus. You need to rededicate your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I feel in my spirit that there's somebody watching that you need Christ. You need to rededicate. Some need Christ. Hey, listen, this audience, they're going to repeat after me a prayer for you. I want you to repeat it there in your home or wherever you're watching this television broadcast, because God is going to change your life today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe that he died and rose again for my salvation. I thank you, Lord, that that's taking place in my life now, because you said in your holy word that if I would believe those things in my heart and say them with my mouth, I will be saved. I thank you now. I am a new person in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer with us, there's on the screen there, there's a place that you can go and let us know about it. We want to know about it. We want to get in touch with you. We want to send you some material. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, isn't Jesus wonderful? Anybody get anything out of this? The report of the Lord is the only report. There's no other report. So don't even entertain another report. Just entertain the report of the Lord. Praise God.